There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Is it okay to confront people for bad behavior? Is it appropriate to confront someone if you think they're doing something wrong? What kind of offense would make you stand up and say something? Why are we having this conversation this morning? Well, a man in Mumbai got an unexpected lesson on keeping streets clean when actor Anushka Sharma called him out for littering the road from his car.
Why are you throwing garbage on the road? Why are you throwing garbage on the road? Yes, why are you throwing plastic on the road? Please be careful. You can't just throw plastic around like that on the streets. Use a dustbin.
The incident, which was filmed and uploaded on Twitter by Anushka's husband and cricketer Virat Kohli, garnered divisive reaction from social media. In the tweet, Virat himself wrote, "Saw these people throwing garbage on the road and pulled them up rightfully, travelling in a luxury car and brains gone for a toss. These people will keep our country clean." Yeah, right. If you see something wrong happening like this, do the same and spread awareness. The message was tweeted along with a video in which the actor Anushka Sharma can be seen calling out two men in the luxury car, as you just heard there. The video, however, has received a mixed reaction from social media users. While many users came out in support of the 29-year-old cricketer, there were plenty of those that didn't agree. There was plenty of backlash as well, especially for posting the video without blurring the identity of the man. It's a touchy subject, this one. It's obviously, you know, people feel that it is their right, if you like, Sonald, their citizens' right to have a say if they see something been doing wrong. But given the sort of privacy laws that we now live within, not just here in the UAE, but around the world, you've got to be so careful, haven't you?
Yeah, it's such a, I think it's important for people to be mindful. It's such a different regulatory environment here versus what people might experience back home, wherever that may be. You know, there isn't much tolerance here for public shaming. I think it's really frowned down upon. So I think that approach of, you know, going up to someone and speaking to them directly would work much better here. You could get yourself in some trouble.
We've seen that in the past, haven't you? And I know that you've produced a number of shows. You've worked closely with the news team as well. We've reported a number of cases of individuals who've posted, be they videos, be they images, be they comments, without thinking as well. It's almost that sort of trigger reaction and not thinking through the consequences of those actions. I suppose that's the pitfall, or one of the risks of social media at the moment, is those, while you're being encouraged to have your say and have your opinion and express that opinion where you're free to do so, at the same time you've got to do it with a mindset of who you might be offending further down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, one of our listeners has reminded us of an incident. Kathy says, "An expat in Abu Dhabi posted on Facebook about an able-bodied driver parking in a space reserved for disabled persons, and she got in some trouble for that." So, I mean, that is something that I remember was well reported at the time, and you hear these kinds of stories where, you know, people don't seem to realize that what they're doing is perceived as public shaming, maybe because there's not a person in it. Just a car, but you do have to be careful.
It is interesting, yeah. And obviously we've seen it just in the last week, didn't we? We saw at the end of last week, we saw the story coming out of the UK, but with an impact here in the UAE, of the celebrity chef down at the JW Marriott Marquis, Atul Kutcher, who had posted a comment online. From the comfort of his own home, he's watching a TV show back in London. He tweeted about it. He incensed millions around the world with his ill-considered opinions at the time, which he then retracted straight away, but it was too late. And as a result, JW Marriott Marquis have severed their contacts and relationships with him. So again, that comes from a written tweet. I suppose the pitfalls here are the fact that things like videos, very easy to post, and therefore that is evidence at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think also this comes to the idea of just in general how easy it is on social media to put something out there that you haven't thought through, or even put something out there that people misinterpret. And you can be vilified for that, and it can really change your life. I think there are a lot of high-profile stories where you see that sort of thing.
Let's go to the lines again and get the thoughts of Miral. Joins us live on line number 4. Morning, Miral.
Morning, how are you guys?
Not too bad at all.
Thanks
very much indeed for joining the show. Give us your thoughts on this one. Are they the murky waters at the moment? Is there a fine line between doing your bit as a responsible citizen but also respecting somebody's privacy?
My stand will always be, if you see something wrong, call it out. I'm not a person to hide. Maybe there are laws there, but I think as well, as human beings, we have responsibilities to abide by what's right and wrong, irrelevant what the laws are. Can I share a quote with you?
Of course you can, yeah, fire away. Oh dear, we seem to have lost Miral there. We'll try and get Miral. Hello, Miral?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. We've got you loud and proud now.
Yeah, sorry. I was telling you, can I share a quote with you by Albert Einstein?
Please do, yes. For some reason, we keep losing Miral as the quote comes. Miral, we keep losing you for some reason.
Whenever I say the quote.
Yeah, for some reason. I got you now, loud and proud. But then, as soon as the quote comes, we lose you. So.
All right. So let me try to say.
Let's try this one. Okay.
So yeah, it's Albert Einstein's quote, and yeah. He says the world is a dangerous place, not because of those who do evil. It is because of the people who see them and stay quiet.
Nice. Yeah, that pretty much summarizes a lot of opinions this morning.
Exactly. I'm not sure about the actress and her husband, how justified it was to put on social media. Before I hear your show, I did not know what happened, so I Googled. She spoke in a very polite manner. Now, was it necessary to put it on social media? I'm not sure. I don't know what the circumstances are and what her... Maybe they were trying to do an awareness. Maybe, I don't know. But funny enough, that guy tweeted back and told them, hey, I very carelessly and mistakenly threw some garbage out of my car, but he was confronting the actress. He said, but the garbage that came out of your mouth was much worse than the one that came out of my car. And I was like, no, it's not. I'm sorry. She was very polite to you, and she was very rightfully telling you to respect the country.
But this is what I find interesting, is because we judge all of these cases now on the video that we see, don't we? And I think that's isn't that the fine line, is the fact that all of us have been in those circumstances. You, as you said, as a responsible citizen, will go up to somebody and ask them to pick up their rubbish or otherwise if they're doing something wrong. The fact that we see it, we judge it all in these videos. We don't know what was said either side of when that video was recorded, if it became a slanging match, if something was said otherwise. And I suppose that's the problem, isn't it? That doing the right thing and telling somebody or making somebody aware of their ills and their woes is different from what we see on videos.
So the videos and posting, I would say this is public shaming. I would put this under bullying.
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong for her to pull up and speak to them. But was it necessary to put it in video and put there? Now, if it was a more serious issue, no, I would like this one. She could have spoken to them about. But if it's a more serious issue, you do want international awareness, and you do want people in the community to see, because it's the people that changes the laws.
True.
Right now in the UAE, it's frowned upon to do this. But maybe you need the good citizens to report these things.
Yeah.
You need the good citizens. This is how it starts. One person gets away with it, then another person will get away with it. And then you have an epidemic in the society.
And that's an interesting point you bring up, because we are more and more being encouraged by police forces here in the UAE and other authorities to report instances of bad behaviour where we can, to those authorities to then take it up. I suppose it's therefore, again, it's that fine line, that grey area of doing what you deem to be right and then not crossing that privacy line.
Yes, I think that you're smart in doing it. No, if you put any videos or if you do any public training on social media, you will be punished. However, what they're telling us is we as a government are responsible. You see something wrong, definitely come to us. And we will do something. I think they're smart. They're trying to discourage bullying, because public training is bullying.
Yeah.
You are not the police. But I still think if you see something wrong, I remember a friend of mine was being inappropriate with her boyfriend on a plane, and a mother was like, I'm sorry, excuse me, you can't do this action in public. I have 3-4 years old that I'm trying to raise, and if they see this kind of behavior, they will think it's okay. And actually, good on the mother. And my friend was not offended. She's like, she made me think of it. We act sometimes irresponsibly without meaning to.
Yeah.
And we don't realize the children and the people around us that we affect. So I would always ask people to speak up, but do it politely, do it in the least bullying manner, and then there's no need to go into confrontation. Say your bit and leave. That person might get defensive on the spot, but later on you might have hit a mark that would make them think.
Great points, well made. Mira, bless you. Thanks very much indeed. Nice to chat with you this morning. That was Mira joining us live on the agenda this morning here on Dubai Eye 103.8. Mira brings up a really valid point there as well, the whole issue of bullying. When does public shaming become bullying? Is it part and parcel of bullying? That's certainly the thought of Stando, who's been in touch with us on 4001, saying, great show. As an HR professional, I have experienced this multiple times in various work settings and agree it's not acceptable. Although it may appear that people like me in HR is not doing anything to address shaming or the bullying behavior, as I like to put it, oftentimes they have been documented, investigated, and made recommendations for corrective action. But the buck stops with the top. Unfortunately, some top leaders prefer to sweep it under the rug rather than risk losing the manager and having it to find a replacement. When does public shaming become bullying? Is that something that you've been a victim of in your workplace as well? And again, I suppose, is that the changing face of our workplaces at the moment? Sonal's in studio with us at the moment. You know, when you're, how often do you see it? You know, when we were discussing this show yesterday with George and the rest of the team, and we're putting it together, we would discuss the recent incident over in Paris, didn't we, where a Malian refugee was passing by a tenement building, a block of flats, and saw a toddler dangling from a balcony. He then scaled the building rather heroically, much like a modern-day Spider-Man would, to ensure that the child was safe and return the child to safety. Since then, got accoladed and was given a citizenship and a Legion d'honneur, and for some reason inducted into the French Fire Brigade. But that goes without saying. But that act of bravery was one thing. The thing that struck me was the 24 people at the bottom of the building filming it on their phones. And that seems to be the modern way.
Yeah, I mean, you see something extraordinary, you take your phone out. That's just how we live nowadays. And I think that can be both sort of good positive behavior and more negative behavior. With this sort of public shaming thing, of course, you do have to be careful here in the UAE, but I do think there are examples, specifically when it comes to corporate behavior. Like one of the examples that comes to mind for me is, remember when Delta were sort of called to physically removing an elderly man from their plane. If people hadn't recorded that moment where they didn't have any power to do anything because it was the authorities who were in the wrong, what would have happened? Would there have been any repercussions for that behavior from a corporate perspective?
Yeah, broaches an interesting angle on this one as well, because when does this idea of public shaming cross over into the corporate world? Yes, when you're paying for an airline seat and you see somebody dragged off, you're paying for that experience. But what about within your own work environment? You know, if you're given a dressing down by your senior manager or your manager for being late or for bad behavior or for bad work practice or something like that, does that also then cross the line? Are you now seeing people taking out their phones to record that as evidence for future reference or whatever? Or again, is that something that's sacrosanct? Is that something that is sacred within that work environment? Or are we also seeing this idea of shaming and the fine line between shaming and bullying crossover into the workplace? Love your thoughts on this one. Keep them coming in to us, 4001. We're going to be hearing from John Ronson in just a few moments' time. John Ronson is the author of the book So You've Been Publicly Shamed. We'll be hearing from him very, very shortly. Right here on Dubai Eye 103.8. This one from Debbie out there. I've told many people not to spit out of their cars or on the street. To me, it's disgusting, and I don't mind telling them also. Thanks for that, Debbie. Sonal's also in studio with us, working through a few of your comments, text messages, tweets, and otherwise. Give us an idea and a flavour.
Vasudha has said, my views on the Anushka Virat episode is that confronting people and trying to talk to them into not repeating the bad thing is correct, but video recording it and shaming them does not suffice. This also gives the opportunity for the common person to start confronting people with whatever possible they have done wrong. Police and law are there for a reason. We can't start bullying people because you caught them doing something you don't like. It's much better if she would have politely made them understand instead of making them feel bad.
Thanks to Rob Simmons getting in touch with us again, Rob, asking about posting videos. Is that not illegal here? As we addressed a little earlier on, Rob, yeah, you're right. If they are ill-considered, they haven't got the permission of others, then it can be frowned upon here, but sort of depends on the content of said video. Pankaj agrees with a number of other listeners, saying, must speak up, civil servant in Ahmedabad, got an industrialist to enter a canal and fish out garbage that he had thrown. He'll never do it again. I always get my kids to put their garbage in the bin in parks and others as well. Pankaj, thank you for that one. What about the thoughts of Vinkat? He joins us live on the line. Morning, Vinkat.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Very well indeed. Thanks very much indeed for your patience this morning. Thanks for joining us as well. What's your take on the subject? Are you one of those people that speaks out?
I do speak out, and I think what the couple did on the occasion of finding this particular guy littering is absolutely correct. Something to consider, especially in India, is the fact that the Prime Minister, wow, our Prime Minister Modi, went out to the streets and initiated, a cleanup campaign. He did this, and everyone in spirit on the same social media circles were in unison appreciating what he did, and in unison committed to the cleanliness drive. And then cut to what happens, a few years forward. If educated people, the guy who was who did the bit was an educated person. Mm. If educated people are not going to kind of set an example and the right example, there's no harm, in using the same platform, social media platform, and kind of telling people that what they've done is wrong. How else are you going to kind of spread awareness? Today, everyone are on social media, everyone are on phones. I don't think, it's a bad thing using the same platform, as I said earlier, and actually kind of naming and shaming. I just don't understand. I don't get the point why people are becoming so sensitive. Everyone make mistakes, and if you are a worthy example of that mistake and an example that hopefully people learn from, one shouldn't kind of take it personally, and that's my take.
It's interesting though, isn't it? I think your example of Modi going out and doing it himself, I find that more powerful than posting a video of somebody just criticising somebody else for doing it. If maybe this couple had got out of the car, Anushka and Virat had got out of the car, picked up the rubbish themselves and then put it away, would that not have left more of an impact, I suppose, on the individual? But at the same time, it wouldn't have reached the millions of people that are talking about it around the world.
Correct. And that's exactly the point. You see, either ways, a very impressionable, age, yeah, in terms of the general population spread is on social media. And I think when someone of the standing of Virat Kohli, who is so impressionable on young minds, yep, goes out and supports his wife, who has just done something right. And it's not about naming and shaming. It's about alerting people, and it's exactly this thing that you pointed out, right? When our Prime Minister, who was gone and kind of done it, had everyone endorsing that act, and who had everyone endorsing that campaign. If someone has kind of forgotten, a couple of things along the way, it's all about how sensitive people are becoming.
Yes.
And I don't know why people are becoming so sensitive even when someone has made a mistake. What's very unfortunate in this incident is the mother of the gentleman and the sister of the gentleman have also come out and kind of spoken out against the couple. It's about how sensitive you're becoming in our little space.
Yeah.
Everyone make mistakes. If somebody has kind of alerted you and has kind of used you as an example, you just got to kind of, take it on the chin and own up, be a man and say, yes, I made a mistake, I'm sorry. It was a chance encounter with a celebrity, and I'm kind of, you've got to find a way of moving on, and you can't become sensitive. And I'm really shocked at the at the number of people who are actually kind of saying that, the couple did wrong. Maybe, yes, I do kind of understand when people say you should have probably blurred the person's face. But again, it's about, I think the point is about how sensitive people are becoming, even if they made a mistake. People just don't seem to want to man up and accept that they made a mistake.
Really good point, Venkat. Thanks so much indeed for being with us this morning. That was Venkat giving us his considered and educated thoughts on the subject. And he brings up a really interesting point that we can take into the final half hour of the show, this whole idea of, have we just become too sensitive? Is that something we can blame on social media? Is that something we can blame on the digital age? Have we become more sensitive about the comments of others in an age when all we do is seem to comment about other people through our various social media feeds amongst others? We'd love your thoughts on this one. And again, we're using the phrase in a wrong way. We keep calling it public shaming, but do we need to come up with a new term for it as well? Because there are incidents, none more so than down in Cape Town, South Africa, when we've seen public shaming initiatives in general having a very positive impact in recent times. We're going to get onto that story in the final half hour of the show.
Bringing you all the action on and off the pitch. The 2018 World Cup in association with Bridgewater Tavern. The only place to watch your team this summer.
Final games of the first group games of the FIFA World Cup will conclude a little later on. And I think it's fair to say that after those games have been concluded, we can reflect on what has been an extraordinary start to the Russia World Cup 2018. Yesterday was no different.
What a strike, that is! Sheer perfection. Headed in from Lukaku. Romelu Lukaku with a second goal for Belgium.
Kane has stolen it at the death! That's what he's there for!
Chris McCarty is the head of sport here at Dubai I-103.8. He's got his work cut out over the next couple of weeks. And if the next couple of weeks are anything like the week that we've just had, Chris McCarty, it hasn't even been a week yet. It's been less than a week. late goals.
Late drama, Tom. Yes, very good morning. And I am absolutely knackered. I'm not complaining, though. Day five, or it's day six as the case may be today, and yes, late drama, late goals becoming a feature of this 2018 World Cup, but it's living up to expectation, isn't it? And as you can probably hear from my voice, I might be knackered, but I'm still enthused, I'm still excited, I'm still loving every moment of this FIFA World Cup, and I think England fans, or at least the majority, I hope at the very least, are waking up happy this morning.
Let's reflect on yesterday's games. Let's start with that Sweden-South Korea. It's been overshadowed by the two later games, but solid start for Sweden against a disappointing South Korea.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Sweden were solid. I did expect them to get the victory, yeah. And it was a 1-0 win in the end. A penalty from their captain, Andreas Granqvist. It was, once again, we saw VAR used to great effect. I said instantly when I saw the incident, penalty, the referee waved play on, and then about 40 seconds later, the boys up in the control room radioed down to say, listen, have another look at that one. We think it's a penalty, and it was. It was a stonewall penalty scored from Sweden, and a little bit of pressure on both of those teams. We saw Mexico defeat Germany in the previous night in that same group. So Mexico and Sweden off to a flyer. They're both on 3 points. A little bit of pressure now on the defending champions, Germany.
Belgium took on Panama. Took a little while to hit their straps, but eventually got into fifth gear, and they look good.
They did, yeah. First 15 minutes, Tom, I thought they were excellent. They were moving the ball quickly. Kevin De Bruyne, the Manchester City fulcrum, if you will, he got on the ball and he was making things happen. And then Panama just seemed to settle in, and Belgium got lulled into, I guess, a false sense of security in many respects. Half-time whistle came at nil apiece, and then I'm sure Roberto Martinez, the Belgian boss, had one or two choice words, because Belgium much changed, much more pace, much more energy, moving the ball a lot quicker in that second half. And it was goals from Dries Mertens, the Napoli forward, and a double from Manchester United's big man Romelu Lukaku, his second incidentally, real good goal. That's what Belgium can do, moving through the gears quickly from Kevin De Bruyne into Eden Hazard into the galloping stride of Romelu Lukaku, and then a fine finish as well. So a 3-0 win for Belgium, didn't flatten them. They will I'm sure get better as the tournament goes on, but you can't complain with a 3-0 win to open up the World Cup campaign.
Wealth of talent for Belgium at the moment. You just look at the bench that they had yesterday, but also those players that aren't on the bench because they're still coming back from injuries as well. They got they got options and they go deep, don't they?
They do, Tom. Vincent Kompany, the man who seems to be, have been beset by injuries, so sadly, in the latter part of his career, he's missing. They started Dedryck Boyata, who plays his club football for Celtic, over in Scotland. Moussa Dembele, who's been so excellent for Spurs over the last couple of seasons, he came on late on. We didn't see a sign of Mauro Ancelotti. Matsu Batshuayi as well, the Chelsea striker who plundered the goals for Borussia Dortmund on loan last season. So Roberto Martinez has a wealth of talent at his disposal, and if things are not going well for Belgium, then he can call upon them. So, yeah, watch this space with Belgium. Will they win it? I still have my question marks, but last night they're putting down a marker that they can certainly go far in this 2018 World Cup.
One thing that we debated into the wee small hours were Thierry Henry's tattoos. Now, I'm not used to seeing a tattoo on Thierry Henry. I'm not used to seeing Thierry Henry in dugouts, but he is working with the Belgian team at the moment as one of the attacking coaches. He had a T-shirt on yesterday. Sleeves! He's got proper sleeves!
He does, yes. He's a trendsetter. I guess Thierry Henry's a bit of a hipster, Tom, which... Well, I could probably align myself to. I'm not quite sure you can on the hipster front, Don, but yes, he's wearing sleeves or tattoos of Thierry, and I watched the Belgium game last night with a proud Irishman, and as soon as Thierry Henry's face popped up on the screen, he wanted the guy to turn the TV off. Of course, Irish fans have not forgiven Thierry Henry for that despicable handball that essentially denied Ireland a place in one of the previous World Cups, so... Yeah, Thierry Henry, a striking coach over there for Belgium, looking rather hipster with his little sleeve tattoos.
So Belgium, 3 goals for them, 3 points as well. Let's get on to the last game. Elation for England fans, although there was a little bit of nail chomping going on late into the game. But credit to Tunisia, they gave it some, didn't they?
They did, Tom, and I've had a lot of WhatsApps this morning from fans asking if they're going mental and crazy, because a lot of England fans, there seems to be some getting a bit ahead of themselves saying that England can go and win the World Cup. There's also been a lot of negativity about England's victory last night. Now, I just don't get that. England have got work to do. Of course they do. They missed a glut of chances. But look at the positives. It's the youngest England starting 11 in a World Cup since 1962. They had 6 shots on target in that first half, more than any other team in the World Cup thus far. It's the first opening win for England in a major tournament since 2006. They're creating the chances, Tom. Yes, there's work to be done, but they've won their opener. That is paramount in a World Cup. Germany didn't do it. Brazil haven't done it. Argentina haven't done it. England, against a good Tunisia side, went out there. They were excellent for the first 25 minutes. And at the end of 90-plus minutes, they've got the 3 points on the board. I think you can only look at that. If you're not okay, not getting too excited, at least be content. We've seen positives from Gareth Southgate's men. And England will now have a renewed optimism. I think there'll be a little bit of a momentum builder from that late goal. They've got Panama now on Sunday. Win that, they're secure of a place in the last 16, and they can then go up against Belgium in their last group key match with a little bit of freedom. Go out there and express yourselves, and who knows, we could be talking about England topping this group.
As you said, you know, let's look at some of the positives. And I thought from watching on as well that, you know, more options became available with a number of the substitutes coming on, and that can only be a blessing for Gareth Southgate and the rest of the coaching teams, because it brings a new dimension.
Fantastic point, Tom, and that's another one that I missed. Again, credit to where credit's due for Gareth Southgate. He made bold changes and changes that impacted the game. Marcus Rashford came on in the final 20-25 minutes, was good. Ruben Loftus-Cheek, the big Chelsea midfielder, came on again with his direct running, caused Tunisia one or two problems. It is a squad game. We say it day in, day out in the club game. It is in the national game as well. And Gareth Southgate used the squad to great effect last night. They got the victory. Tunisia were stuffy. Again, though, Tunisia, contentious penalty. They had one shot on target the whole of the 90-plus minutes. That was the penalty. Mm. So an awful lot more positives than negatives. Will England win the World Cup? I hope not, being a proud Scot. I don't think they will, but they can make waves in this World Cup if given the chance. And if I'm an England fan, get behind your team.
Little bit of a worry as we conclude the first games for all teams this week. And it is with regards to VAR, which has been one of the big talking points of the World Cup. Obviously, they have gone full in for VAR at this year's World Cup. We've seen it used to good effect in recent games, but last night was an example where VAR should have been used, specifically a couple of penalty calls on Harry Kane. And this is not an England fan just bemoaning it, the fact or anything like that. But I suppose that's going to be one of the problems, and I don't want another competition where we're blaming the lack of the impact of referees or even VAR referees these days for not having their say when they should.
Absolutely, Tom. It's a lack of transparency. It's a lack of clarity with us, the fans, because you're right. Some decisions are being revoked and changed, and rightly so. There are other decisions that you're left scratching your head, and there needs to be something. The idea that I came up with on our Sports Tonight special last night, there needs to be something where the TV directors can tell us, a little bit like rugby, when there is a decision being reviewed. So, for example, yesterday in the Sweden match, the man goes down. Now, we're still at a loss to explain, is the referee asking the VAR control room to check on that incident, or is he saying, I think it's not a penalty, let's go on, and the VAR control boys are doing their work independent of the referee? I think it's the latter. I think what's happening is there's a big furore and those guys are getting to work, and it's only when they make a decision that the referee finds out about it. And I think that's what it's got to change. I think similar to rugby, the referee needs to be able to say, I don't think that's a penalty. I'm not sure though. I'm going to play on. You boys have a check of it. If it is, we'll come back. If it isn't, the game plays on. Does that make sense?
Makes plenty of sense, yeah. I think a lot of people talking about that. Obviously, a lot of people talking about you and Robbie in your bunk beds down at the Bridgie. You're down there for the next 4 weeks as well. Made it your home from home. What you got coming for us a little later on?
Yeah, we've got Robbie Fowler, the Liverpool legend, former England striker. He's going to be popping on down. So it's an opportunity for us this evening. And I don't want to be disrespectful to both Poland and Senegal. I'm sure there's a lot of fans of those nations residing in the UAE. But we will be keeping an eye on that game. Goals, as and when they go in, will be updated on the show. But we're going to just take the opportunity to have a chat with Robbie to find out what it is like to be a player at these major tournaments, get some insight. The phone lines are open, the text lines are open as well, so we welcome any questions that any of our listeners may have. And it's just an opportunity to take stock, as you rightly point out, Tom. It is day six, it is the final group games, so just an opportunity to look back on some of the big stories and to get Robbie Fowler's expert opinion on some of those big stories making the headlines in the first week of the 2018 World Cup.
It's live from 7 o'clock here on Dubai 103.8, or if you'd like to go and meet the guys in person, get yourself down there to the Bridgewater Tavern at the JW Marriott Marquis here in Dubai. So action gets underway at 4 o'clock. Our first opportunity to have a look at Colombia, Chris McCarty. They take on Japan. That's anything but a foregone conclusion, that result.
Yeah, two difficult games this in Group H, the Poland-Senegal at 7, the 4 o'clock game, as you say, Colombia-Japan. Colombia, you would think on paper, James Rodriguez, Radamel Falcao, Juan Cuadrado, Davinson Sanchez, who plays his football over for Tottenham. They are jam-packed full of household names, but we know Japan are a fine footballing nation. They get the ball down, they play an attacking possession brand of football. Really looking forward to this one, and that's probably the geek and a little bit of football nerd in me that's looking forward to this one. It is the World Cup, of course. We look forward to all the matches, but yeah, looking forward to seeing a first glimpse of Colombia, one of the other dark horses that may just have a big say on who eventually goes on to win this World Cup.
Last one from me, and first glimpse of sorts, another first glimpse of sorts. Dare we risk the thought, or even entertain the thought, of seeing Mo Salah on a football pitch a little later on?
I think we will, Tom. I really do. I've been reading a lot, and I'm speaking to one or two who are over there in Russia, and I think the thought is he was wrapped in cotton wool for that opener against Uruguay. I think the feeling was, after, what, 70 minutes of that one, that Egypt could do enough to get a draw, to get a 0-0 draw, and then unleash him against two teams that I think Egypt will fancy their chances against. Russia, as good as they were in that opening game against Saudi, I think can be got at. And then, of course, the big one, the Arab derby, if you will, Egypt taking on Saudi. I do expect Mo Salah to start this evening. I know Robbie Fowler was of the opinion that that shoulder injury of Mo Salah's is a lot more serious than perhaps he's letting on, and that perhaps we know, but it would be a real shock of mine if Egypt, in their first World Cup final since 1990, don't unleash their poster boy, don't unleash their talisman, and I would expect to see Mo Salah lining up from the start in Egypt's match against Russia, that one getting underway at 10 p.m. this evening.
Chris, as always, thanks so much indeed for your thoughts. Chris McCarty there giving us all of the World Cup updates here live on Dubai I-103.8. And if you'd like to see Chris and the two Robbies in action, they're live at the Bridgewater Tavern down at the JW Marriott Marquis here in Dubai from 7 o'clock this evening. It is day six, lots to look forward to. But, you know, for the English fans out there, I know it's us sort of entertaining here, but we don't get to celebrate goals like this very often, so it plays us out to the next break. Thanks so much indeed for your thoughts on today's talker with regards to bad behaviour and the whole concept of public shaming. It's too easy now to simply pull out your phone and judge other people's behaviours. Is it an invasion of privacy? Well, John Ronson is the author of the book So You've Been Publicly Shamed. He says that vilifying people online is destructive to society and that it creates a conformist, conservative, fearful surveillance society. He has been here in the UAE. In fact, he's been to the Emirates Litfest in recent years. As I said, his book So You've Been Publicly Shamed highlights this new approach to shaming. He's spoken to high-profile targets of online shaming. He says the experience has left them mangled with anxiety and other mental health issues. He's also warned that public shaming is a very much real and present threat to our society.
And I think back on the early days of Twitter, when people would admit shameful secrets about themselves, and other people would say, oh my God, I'm exactly the same. These days, the hunt is on for people's shameful secrets. You can lead a good ethical life, but some bad phraseology in a tweet can overwhelm it all, become a clue to your secret inner evil. Maybe there's two types of people in the world, those people who favour humans over ideology, and those people who favour ideology over humans. I favour humans over ideology, but right now the ideologues are winning, and they're creating a stage for constant artificial high dramas where everybody's either a magnificent hero or a sickening villain, even though we know that's not true about our fellow humans. What's true is that we are clever and stupid. What's true is that we're grey areas. The great thing about social media was how it gave a voice to voiceless people, but we're now creating a surveillance society where the smartest way to survive is to go back to being voiceless.
That was John Ronson, the author of the book So You've Been Publicly Shamed. Shame, as we know, powerful way to drive behavioural change, and in some places advertisers, even governments, have used it to address social problems. In Hong Kong, a campaign used DNA data from litter found on the street to construct a digital portrait of the perpetrator's face, which was then used on billboards around the city. Now, that's just a visual representation of a person, so it does not shame the actual person, but the campaigners hope putting a face to a common anonymous misconduct in the city would succeed where fine systems had not. Sweden anti-smoking campaign used a billboard with a built-in smoke detector to show a virtual man coughing on screen when people lit up their cigarettes nearby. And over in Cape Town in South Africa recently, we've seen the benefits of public shaming. A historic three-year drought forced residents of the coastal city of 4 million to radically change their relationship with water. City restrictions limited each person using no more than 50 litres or 13.2 gallons a day. The very public campaign was driven by social pressure. So now cars gone unwashed, toilets unflushed, gardens uncultivated. In the all-hands-on-deck effort of Capetonians to save water, driven by that social pressure, as much as the city's very public campaign. So you can see the good of certain campaigns as well. Let's get some comments coming through from listeners. Sonal's here in studio. She's been looking at those throughout the morning.
People are getting very interested in this topic. One listener has said, telling someone in person not to litter is one thing. Public shaming them is something completely different. I'd be very cautious of doing the second one here. And Amber has said, yes, of course I would get involved. People cutting queues, being rude to servers, being rude to anyone who is not in a position to answer back. Men trying to take advantage of women. I remember once traveling in India on those sleeper buses where a tourist was being harassed by a guy and made sure he got off the bus. I would definitely say something.
Some great comments that have come through on 4001. Somebody saying, I think that a number of people here don't want to say anything here because they're afraid of the consequences if they were to tell. Unfortunately, most people believe it's better to pretend they didn't see anything because there's too much to lose and it could just be down to a difference. As far as I'm concerned, the wrong action should be highlighted on the spot, no matter who the person is. Thanks also to a number of people reacting to the initial subject, which was, of course, a reaction to this Anushka Sharma and Virat Kohli video. This one coming through from one of our listeners saying, hi, Tom. Let me highlight the fact that Anushka Sharma is doing a very cheap publicity stunt. She is famous for carrying out such publicity stunts in the past also. And apart from that, she is a bit of a gold digger since Virat Kohli's career was going down. She broke up with him, and when the career came back, she hooked up with him again and married him. Thanks for that one. And Samir's been in touch with us as well, saying this shows what kind of person she is. Apart from that, Who the hell does she think she is to talk to somebody like that in public and to then post it online? Samir, thanks for your thoughts. That's about it from Sonal and myself. Thank you very much indeed to you all. Final thoughts from Sonal as we get one more final comment on this one.
Well, Prabal has said, great job. As citizens of India, we need to step up and become soldiers of cleanliness if we want to keep Mother India clean. Excellent, Virat and Anushka.
Thank you to you, Sonal, for all your hard work today putting this one together.
Thanks.
Thanks to you, Esther. Till then, ta-ra.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.